This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 3712 for Tuesday, the 25th of October, 2022. Today's show is entitled, The Last Ever CC Hits.net Show. It is the first show by new host CC Hits.net and is about 96 minutes long. It carries a clean flag. The summary is, the team talk about the nearly 12 years of producing CC Hits.net. Today's show is licensed under a CC BY license.
Hello and welcome to the last ever show from cchits.net. On today's show, your host, John Spriggs, will talk about the site, how it was started, and most importantly, me. So without further delay, let's get on with the show.
So yes, folks, that's it. We are coming towards the very end of CC Hits as it was. Yeah, so I thought I would invite along some people that have kind of helped out with CC Hits, promoted it, done a boatload of effort that people won't have seen in the background. For those of you that don't know me, I am John Spriggs. I created CC Hits November 2010 was when it was actually released into the great wide world, and that was largely as a result of a conversation on the way to a pod crawl in Sheffield with Mr. Dave Lee. So Mr. Dave Lee, would you like to say anything at this point, aside from hello, I guess?
Okay, yeah, hi. Yeah, I think CC Hits for me was, it was a really great idea. I'd been podcasting for, I think it was about 2 years up to that point. And the big thing for me was the inability to locate some decent, well-curated Creative Commons music. We had the Podsafe Music Network, which is gone. We had, in fact, that might have been it at the time. No, we had Jamendo. We had the Free Music Archive. And out of all of them, I would say probably at the time, certainly not now, Jamendo was the best of the bunch. Now, when trying to locate decent music, it's really difficult when you're wading through such a large amount of random instrumentals and very, very short form stings to try and find music that you think your listeners want to listen to. Mm-hmm. And from a selfish perspective, that I want to listen to, because I tend to choose tracks that I like, not necessarily what I think the listeners are going to like. So having something like CC Hits, which was a curated collection of music, which as a byproduct of it also had a number of shows that it generated itself, like the Daily Exposure Show, the Weekly Show. I never did the Monthly Show, I'll be honest. Well, to be fair, at the moment no one does, but I subscribed to the Daily Show since CC Hits was a thing.
Yeah.
And I'm probably 40 episodes behind, which isn't so bad because I'll have a really good chance to catch up soon. But yeah, like I say, for me, it was a great concept, something that I think that was absolutely needed in that space at that time. So when John shared the idea, I was like, this is really good, how can I help? And you know, I may have been at some point in my history a programmer. I may have programmed some pretty decent stuff. Nowadays, not so much. So there's not really a lot I could have done from a coding perspective. But as I'm going and finding songs for my music podcast, it kind of made sense to start feeding those into CC Hits so that other people could enjoy them as well. Mm. So whilst I wasn't getting from it what I actually expected, was to have a ready-made source of music available to me, at least it was something then that I could contribute to.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I've been doing for the last 10 and a half years, because I didn't start contributing immediately, not until I had a workflow that made it so I didn't have to spend too much time doing it. But with changes and improvements in the platform, it did make it a lot easier. And that's kind of taken us up to where we are now, bar a few foibles. We can come on to those in a bit.
So I guess it's probably a good idea to explain at this point what the idea was that I pitched to Dave. I do have two other people in here in the recording with us as well. I've also got Yannick, formerly of Utopia Radio, which was a was it a French? It was a French station.
It was in French, yes. Yes, it was my music podcast in French.
And then we also have Ken Fallon. Ken Fallon is all round good guy that I know through Hacker Public Radio. Okay, to my experience, he's an all-round good guy. Other people may have different opinions of him. But Ken knew me through Odd Camp, and he came across CC Hits, I think from probably me trying to talk about it at CC at Odd Camp, and then said that he wanted to start using that in for some of the live streams that you were doing at the time. And so I said, well, you know, music's all Creative Commons. That's kind of the point it's there for. So I just wanted to introduce people in case you heard some other voices in the back as I'm going through this lot, because there will be points in this when people will say to me, John, this makes no sense, or I don't remember that being in that way, shape or form in the slightest. So I thought I'd give you an opportunity to know who the other voices were.
Yeah, well, you can't stop me from speaking anyway. So.
Fair enough. So CC Hits was kind of two or three ideas at once. I had been heavily involved in the Stockport hackspace, the creation of a new makerspace for Stockport. And I'd been to a few of these sessions and people were playing commercial radio or we were in a pub or something like that. And in the back of my head, I kept thinking, I've been listening to this great music on a whole host of other podcasts, and we were in a position where I wanted to be able to play some of that music at the Hackspace. And I'd come across a news article about some poor woman working at Tesco's, and I think it was in somewhere like Scotland or something like that. And she had been humming along. Like really early shift in the morning, she'd been humming along to some music that was in her head, and there's two licensing authorities in the UK for commercial music, the PRS and PPL. That's certainly what their names were when I was getting involved in this. I don't know whether they still are. I'm getting a nod from Dave. Basically, one of them is the rights holders for the fact that the music's been played, and the other is the rights holder for the people that have composed the music. And the people that composed the music took this woman to court basically for breach of the licensing conditions, because they didn't have a PPL license. Now, the fact it's a Tesco, there's anecdotes. This feels like an anecdote that's kind of been misreported or something like that. But anyway, she got taken to court, and I just was petrified that this little group of hackers, makers, whatever it was going to get stung by a massive bill for playing music. And I thought, well, I need to find something that's not going to put them in that position. Was always involved in open source. And I thought, what I really need is Creative Commons music. Dave had been playing some Creative Commons music, but I think it wasn't like the bulk of your music by that point. It was just a thing that was played. And so Dave and members of the Association of Music Podcasting, of which Yannick, I think you remember, weren't you? Yeah.
Yes.
So there'd been this pod crawl in Sheffield, and Sheffield was not very far away from me. So I went across, and Dave met me at the station, or just across the road from the station. And I was like, Dave, I really want to join the Association of Music Podcasting. Because by this point, I'd also been listening to, as I said, been listening to a whole boatload of music podcasts. I said, but, and don't tell anyone this, my wife's pregnant. And I'm not going to have the time to produce a music podcast at the schedule that, I don't recall if there was a requirement to produce a particular number of shows a week or a month or whatever, but I just suddenly had this panic that I wouldn't be able to have the time to do it. I said, so I've got a great idea. I'm going to create a script that builds a music podcast. And Dave's like, okay. And I'm like, and I know you're the membership secretary. Can you have a word with the other people? I've subsequently found out that it wasn't quite so much of a rigorous, you know, organization as that at the time. It was more kind of like, well, you know, whatever. And people objected to the fact that it wasn't my voice on the podcasts. So CC Hits never made it into the Association of Music Podcasting. It's not a problem. Anyway, so.
It sounds like you have a problem. Some undealt with issues there. I'm not bitter. I am.
I thought it would be a shoo-in because I was bringing like a regularly scheduled massive dose of music into everyone's kind of options, and they went, yeah, but you're not speaking on it, so you can't really, you're not really a podcaster. And I'm like, okay, I see where you're going with that. So I was a little bit narked at the time, but yeah, I'm fine. I mean, like I said, this is all kind of anecdote, and you know, a lot of it is just kind of what's in my memory rather than anything else. So anyway, so we get to Podcrawl, and Dave's there. I think it was Rowley, Pete Hogle. There were a handful of people there, and I was like, I had this really good idea. What it's going to be is a podcast that takes all the CC Hits music that you play on all your podcasts, because you're already going out and finding this great music. And so it'll just go into this system, at which point two or three of the podcasters went, Creative Commons music? Meh. Who listens to that rubbish? And somebody else went, surely that sounds like a lot of work for me. I'm out. And it wasn't quite the sort of massive fanfare that I'd hoped it was going to be, but persevered. And so I wrote a load of code, and the first show went live on something like that. It was in November.
I can't remember.
And do you know what? The really annoying thing is, so it's a little peek behind the curtain here into the way that CC Hits works. Effectively, it's just a whole load of MySQL tables. And the first few shows got injected into the system, and they were absolute rubbish. And so I deleted them. I deleted them from the system. And so the first, you can't even go and find show number one, because show number one doesn't exist, because it was deleted, and I never reset the starting value of the table. So it starts at something like 12 or something, some random number like that. I mean, Dave and Yannick both have had a bit of a poke inside the database as well. So, you know, one of us could go and find it. But frankly, for the show notes that there will be, I will find that show. So anyway, so the first few shows go out, and I got a note, I think, from Dave saying, you know, I don't mean to be funny, but the voice is getting some of these pronunciations of some of these words absolutely dreadful. Because literally, so again, behind the curtain, we're using an open source text-to-speech library called Festival. And I just literally typed in, hello, welcome to CC Hits, blah, 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 blah. And it came out as "Hello, welcome to CC Hits." Yeah, and I was just like, "No, this just it sounded like, you know, some people play that game where you take a sentence and you put it into Google Translate, and then you translate it back to the language it came from, and you just it felt like somebody had done that to the. I mean, it was just dreadful. I mean, I'm kind of half inclined to go back and find that first episode and just kind of listen to what the audio sounds like. I can't remember if having had Dave kind of go, the audio's a bit naff on this one. I actually went back and rebuilt all of these shows to put the text right. So it might be fine now.
There is a show number one on the website.
Is there?
From the 24th of October 2010.
Ooh. That might actually be it then.
It's Café Connection by Mokonji.
We blame text to speech, and we can't even have a human do it.
So,
yeah.
So
text to speech is good.
So one of the people did contact me and say, "I love the idea of the show. It's a really great idea for the show, but I can't cope with the text to speech voice." And so I very nearly, right at the beginning, when we still had maybe, 50, maybe 100 tracks in the system, I very nearly started going through and recording the name of the track and the name of the artist, so that I would be replacing what we later called Doris, the voice of
Doris,
which came about when, I think, Dave, you interviewed me for your podcast. And you said, "Well, has the voice got a name?" And I said, "Well, secretly in my head, I've always called it Doris, from the Doris and Boris
in True Lies
pairing in True Lies, because it was such a robotic voice that was going through a voice process." And I just thought, that is Doris right there. But yeah, so I was going to replace all of the voice samples, and then I just looked at it and thought, that whole kind of distinct lack of time that I'd cited as the reason for having it automatically generate all this lot was just going to be suddenly eaten by me having to record all of these names. So instead, what we ended up with was an extra field in the table in the database called pronunciation that, in theory, people were supposed to populate. Now, I don't know whether, Dave, you ever managed that. I think between us, we probably did like maybe 25, 30 in total in like the entire run of several thousand.
The rule that I applied was, if I couldn't pronounce it, I figured Doris wouldn't be able to either. So those are the ones that I filled out the sounds like field in the interface. But no, for the most part, it was just let Doris pronounce it the way that she wants to.
Yeah.
When I submitted French tracks, I didn't even bother with the pronunciation, because with that or without that, Doris wouldn't be able to pronounce them. So
it's all those poxy rolled French R's. That's the problem.
Yes.
So we get a few months in. Dave, you start submitting tracks. I've been merrily trawling my way around Jamendo, CC Mixter, SoundCloud, and a handful of others, and I was manually uploading all of these tracks into the site. And I think, Dave, you came to me as well, and you said, "This just is not working for me, because I'm having to download the track and then type all this stuff into a field." I was like, "I know what I'm going to do." And this was the downfall of CC Hits and the end, is that I wrote some code that would go away and API walk these different systems. So it would pull the track down from the website, and it would also pull down the license, the artist name, the URL to visit the artist, the URL to go and get the track, to go and find out details about the track from their site, and put it all into the stuff that we needed. And ultimately, fundamentally, this is the downfall of why CC Hits is now coming to an end.
Can I stop you there for a moment? Because although it may have been the downfall at the later time,
Yes.
When it was first implemented, it was revolutionary from a back-end administrative point of view.
Mm.
Because where I went from downloading files, crafting scripts to basically curl the file up to the server, I then have to go into the server and then fill in the details manually, just putting a URL in a form, pressing send, and it was all done for you.
Mm.
So from that perspective, it was utterly brilliant.
So yeah, you're right. And looking back, it's really easy to kind of point fingers and assign blame and say, oh, this was a thing that caused the downfall. This is the problem right here. But actually, you're right. It basically made it so that you could submit tracks into CC Hits. I was looking at it as, you know, every couple of weeks, I'm going to go through and trawl, you know, four or five sites and find a handful of tracks to play and stick it into the website. You were every week, regular as clockwork, and still are producing a podcast every week with music in it. That was going into the site.
What's the name of that podcast?
Something about
I can't remember.
A bug
and bug farm. Something?
The bugcast, I think.
Yeah, that's probably it.
The bugcast.org or something, isn't it? .net? .com?
.org.
The bugcast. Oh, yeah, I remember now. But yeah, so Dave then starts merrily submitting all these tracks in. Fantastic. Yannick, I think you came on board probably within a few months, but it was more kind of, you had more concerns about the aesthetics of the site, I seem to recall it.
I was a member of the Association of Music Podcasting, which is where I get in contact with Dave, and then Dave told me about CC Hits and told me, hey, look at that, it's a wonderful website and you should contribute your Creative Commons tracks. So I started by doing that, and then Dave told me about you, and that's how I got in contact with you, and that's when we started talking about putting a new coat of paint on the public website,
mm-hmm.
and also on some of the backend website.
Yeah. So I wrote this site in PHP, which is a really easy language to write code in my experience. And it's really, really easy. How to put this tactfully? It's really, really easy to write a gun that you point at your own foot and pull the trigger. So I mentioned before about OggCamp. So around about the same time as CC Hits happened, I also wrote a piece of talk scheduling software for OggCamp. And effectively, both sites had very similar premises, which was stick a whole load of data into a database and then pull some of the content out and render it on screen. So I wrote a framework, very simple in my head framework to wrap all these database queries. So effectively, web developers have this kind of model view controller kind of view of the world. And effectively the model is the database, the way the data table looks, and the view is how you present it. And the controller then does some logic to that data or to the view. So I kind of wrote it and I squished together the data part of it and the view part of it almost into kind of one thing with one little shim, which was the actual templating was done with a separate library. But so the model part was all self-written, entirely self-written. It wasn't that it was necessarily that I thought there was anything out there was particularly bad. But every time, and I still find this even now, every time I look at a framework for developing a website, you get one of two starting points. You either get this framework is really simple. Here's how to create a to-do app for it. The interesting thing about to-do apps, at least the ones that I've seen, they never have any authentication. They never have an API. They never have anything in the way of administration. It's only ever we're going to take some data and put it into a table and then draw it back on screen again. And sometimes if you're really lucky, you can then edit something in that table. So that's one end. And the other end is, now that you've done your computer science PhD, here's how to write some code. And there's never anything in that sweet spot in the middle. My day job was absolutely not programming. It has never been programming. My day job for the entirety of CC Hits was actually, I worked in the security operations center of a solutions integrator right up until the very end, when I then got a job elsewhere, but we'll not talk about that. So I was never ever writing code for a living. So I wrote this framework because I knew how to get object-oriented programming. I knew how to write classes. I knew how to extend classes. So I wrote a class that handled the database stuff. And then I extended that into, here's an object for the track, here's an object for the show, here's an object for the link between to join the track and the show together and things like that. So Yannick comes to me and he says, I'd like to help you with this site. And I'm like, sure, here's the source code. And it was just like, I mean, obviously, I don't know what your view on it was, but I remember other people looking at it and just going, kind of almost coming back to me and going, yeah, I'm out. It's just not even worth the time looking at it. At least Yannick, you gave it a fair crack.
Yeah.
So a couple of years in, Yannick's doing stuff with the site. Dave's merrily plumbing tracks in there like nobody's business. I'd talked about it at Old Camp. So Ken was probably aware of this by then, but I don't think you were using it so much by that point. And then my dad died. And that by itself was a bit of a traumatic event. It was one of those things that happens. And I have this really strong recollection of writing this exceedingly emotional blog post, basically saying, that's it. I am giving up on open source. I don't have time for it. Nobody ever contributes to my projects. It's all a big pile of steaming mess. I'm out. I cannot play this game anymore. And I can't remember if it was an email or a phone call from Dave, but it basically went something along the lines of, you may want to pull out, but have you got any idea just how much effort I went to get this integrated into my workflow? So one of the things that was great about CC Hits was it had this voting component to it, with the intention being that it would produce the monthly show. I will get back to the monthly show in a bit. Because the monthly show, oh my God. No, yeah. Focus. Actually, follow the timeline, John, or this will just be a horrible, stinking mess.
Actually, can I just butt in here, representing the listener here? Just in case there's anyone out there who doesn't know what CC Hits is, what did the website do as far as the listener is concerned?
Okay, so
you go to the website and then...
You go to the website and it offers you three shows. It still offers you three shows, but it maybe not after the last commit. Anyway, it offers you three shows. It offers you the daily show. And so literally what happened was, out of a pool of tracks that was, you know, an arbitrary size of unplayed tracks, it would pick one of those tracks and add a bumper to the start and end of the show and introduce the track, say who the artist was, and then at the outro it would say the track name, the artist name, and the license it was released under. And it would then encourage you to go to a URL, which was in the show notes, to vote for that track, if you liked it. Always upvotes, never downvotes. Always positivity, never haters.
That's where he gets the nice guy from, folks.
And that was fine for the daily show. What we then had was a weekly show. So for people that didn't want to listen to a track every single day, instead what you could get was the weekly show. And the weekly show was produced on Sundays, and it took the seven tracks that had just been played that week. So the seven Daily Show tracks, and then it would take the three highest rated tracks, so the three tracks that had the most votes in that previous 7 days, and it would play those. So it would only be from the week before. But so if you'd had tracks 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 in week one, in week two you had 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. So it would play 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, and then the top three rated tracks from 1 to 7. So if you'd had somebody vote on track 1, track 3, and track 5, and they were all the votes you'd had, then those would be the three tracks. So it would literally be 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 1, 5. So 1, 3, 5. And that would be what it would play. So then the intention had been that there would be a monthly show. And fundamentally, I wouldn't say I made a mistake here. The monthly show took every track on the site, every single day, and this is still going on today, probably not when this show comes out, but every single day, there was a job that ran that looked at all the votes that had ever been cast across the whole system, and then it would add them all up, and then every time, with the exception of the Daily Show, a track was played on any of the CC Hits generated shows. So the Daily Show, so the Weekly Show or the Monthly Show, it would then reduce the vote by 5%. So that every time a track appeared in the Monthly Show, effectively, it would knock down the rating of the track. So it was kind of giving that natural depreciation,
descending down the chart type of thing.
Yeah, so effectively, so that the new tracks had more of a chance to get up there. But equally, if it had turned up on the monthly show and somebody went, oh my god, I love this, and voted on it, got all their friends to vote on it, it would move it up the chart for the next chart show. What happened over time was that query to generate that chart, that, as I said, was being run every single day. Still not entirely sure why I ran it every single day, but it was run every single day. It basically got too long for the timeout that we could run scripts on the VPS that we were using.
Yep.
And so probably around about year 4 or 5, somewhere around there, we started getting intermittent problems with the show not being generated. Not a disaster. Could manually rerun it. You could force it to run. When you ran it interactively, when you ran the API interactively from the command line, it would run. It was purely when it was being run through the website, because it was an API, it would time out, and you would be left with no tracks in your monthly show. So every single day I was getting this email, which was saying, Showmakers run Daily Show. And then every week it would be Showmakers run Daily Show, Weekly Show. Fine. And then every single month it would go, Showmakers run Daily Show, 1 track. Weekly Show, 10 tracks. Monthly Show, 0. That's not right. That's not right. Yeah. And in the end, we kind of just resigned ourselves to the fact that the monthly show wasn't being created. So anyway, so you were asking what the functions of the site were. So on all of the show listings, there was a QR code, or there is a QR code, that would take you to the track page. And it would also list the, if you put in the show number, it would also take you to the track on the show. So it meant that if you were partway through the show and you clicked on vote, it would then take you back to the show page, so you could vote on other tracks in the same show. So when you clicked vote, as I said, all it did was just inject a line into a table that said this track voted on. We did have a bit of a problem again early on. There was this wonderful guy from Holland. And still, I love this guy because he was so passionate, absolutely passionate about this music. And every single day he would get online and he would vote for the tracks that he liked. And he would literally, he would go through and tick, 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 every day. What he didn't realize was happening was in the background, we were looking for a signature to see whether or not that track had been voted for by a hash. And so again, I was really, really, really careful not to store any personal data. We never stored IP addresses. We never stored host names. We never stored any, passwords were all salted and hashed. We used OpenID, and even the OpenID strings, which basically when you go to a site that authenticates with OpenID, what you get back is effectively a public key that is signed by your OpenID provider, Google, GitHub, I can't remember who else we used, but Canonical's Launchpad. Really early on in my open source lifestyle, I got involved in a project called Identica, which then became known as StatusNet. And Evan Prodromo, the guy that created StatusNet, used to run a URL shortening service. And he would publish all the data for this URL shortening service just as a matter of course on his website. And there were no limits. He would basically just run it whatever you want. It's gone now, sadly. UR1.ca was the URL.
That was it.
But all the data was published. And I was like, oh, my word, this is something I want to do. I want to make sure that every byte of data that goes into CC Hits can be used by someone else for whatever purpose they wanted. I didn't want anyone to ever feel that they couldn't just use what they wanted from the site. So I was publishing all this data. But so as a result, I needed to make it so that people then couldn't abuse the voting system. Because again, really early on, we'd had quite a nice band publish their track onto CC Hits. They'd asked me if I could publish it. I published it for them. They were Creative Commons, ticked all the boxes, great stuff. So I put it in there, and then they told their fans, oh, we've just been listed on CC Hits. Let's see if we can get ourselves to number one. So they got a big rush of people voting, fine. But because you only got this reduction in the votes every month, they were number one on the site for, I think, about a year. Constantly, non-stop. And there was nothing, it wasn't nothing I could do about it. It was very little I could do about it. I liked the track, but I'm not convinced it deserved to be number one for that long. all respect to the guys, they were using the system the way they thought was right. They were right. In an ideal world, every artist that published the track, that had their tracks published on CC Hits, should have in some way been told that their track was on CC Hits, and they should have encouraged their listeners, their fans, to go and vote for them as well. However, as we only ever had one artist that did this, skewed the results massively. Anyway, so this guy's coming in, clicking in every day. And in the end, I had to sort of approach him and say, look, I don't mean to be funny, but you're not changing your browser session. You know, because I think we stored a cookie, but it was literally, I don't think we even stored a cookie thinking about it, but literally what we did was we just took like a hash of the agent string from the browser, which is, every browser's got this agent string, and it literally just says, you know, this is Mozilla Firefox, or, you know, this is Microsoft Edge pretending to be Mozilla Firefox because people looked for Mozilla Firefox early on. And this is the version number, and this is the OS. So got this like fingerprint. And again, we were hashing that. So it was very obvious that we weren't storing any data. But because this guy kept coming back, we basically just got, he'd click the vote button and he'd get a response back saying, thank you. And he thought that meant he'd voted. But what actually happened was he'd clicked vote. It tried to do an insert, but had found there was already this string for that track there. And so ditched his vote and said, thank you.
Because it's polite.
I think it was about 6 months this guy was going in regular as clockwork, submitting his tracks. And I have the utmost respect for him. And we had to change some of the text in the website to sort of say, look, you may be hitting submit every day, but it's not doing anything. Just just stop. You're supposed to be discovering new music, not bigging up the tracks. Anyway, so yeah, so I'd had this big meltdown in a blog post, basically saying like, I can't do CC Hits anymore. And Dave's like, you can't do that. And I said, well, I haven't got the space to do this. So by this point, my son was 1.5, maybe not even 1.5, maybe one. He wasn't sleeping amazingly. I had a job that was quite demanding. And I just was like, I can't do this anymore. So Dave was like, I'll tell you what, just keep hosting it. And I'll get involved. And I think, Yannick, you were possibly involved by that point. And I was like, fine. Okay, look, you guys just take it. And so we got a load of changes. Like I said, Yannick did a load of facelift work. And I have this really vivid memory of Yannick sending a picture of, this is what the front page is going to look like. And I was just like, oh, that was what I always wanted it to look like. But I can't code front-end stuff for the love of money. Just do it to all the site. And he was like, yep, okay, I'm going to go and do all the site. And this is no slight on you, but I think we got like 6 pages done. And it was just like, I think by that point, it was just like, and I think I'm done with this work now. I'm like, okay, that's fine. I think your life had changed. Your life was in constant flux around that point as well from yeah. memory. And it was just like, so even now, like half the site has got this amazing skin. It looks fantastic. And the other half of the site is, let's just say it's acceptable, but it's not beautiful.
Functional is the word you're looking for.
Functional, yes, it's functional. I think like we had the same thing with like half of the admin site was beautiful and half of it was functional as well. I can't remember.
Yeah.
And I think around about that point, and I feel really sad about this now. So Dave mentioned before he's 40 tracks behind on The Daily Show. I am currently about 9.5 years behind on The Daily Show. Because I had created the site to serve sort of 3 aims by this point. It was provide music for the hack space. They expressed no interest whatsoever in the music. So that's gone. It was to get more podcasters playing Creative Commons music. I was only ever aware of maybe 4 or 5 podcasts that ever played Creative Commons music. Dave was the only one that consistently, through the run of it, was submitting tracks to CC Hits. I have this really strong memory of Dan Lynch basically saying, oh, I get all of my tracks from CC Hits. It's amazing. I'm like, yes, yes. But really, you need to go and thank Dave because Dave has submitted every single track into CC Hits for the last year. And what else? And so that was the second one. And the third one was to kind of try and become a member of the Association of Music Podcasting. And I'd kind of failed on all 3 of those objectives. And while I was doing this big commute into work every day, and so in theory, listening to these music podcasts would have been perfect for that. I had swung more into listening to tech podcasts. I was getting more interested in, you know, Linux-based podcasts. I was getting more interested in security-based podcasts. And because of the amount of podcasts I was now listening to, I was listening to podcasts at anywhere from 1.5 to 2 times speed, which is great for spoken word podcasts, but you hit a music podcast and it sounds like Alvin and the Chipmunks. Yeah. And so I'm driving and I can't focus switch away from driving to change the speed of the track for one track every day. So I switched to listening to the weekly shows for about a month. And then I'm like, I'm hitting the same problem. It's just happening less often. So yeah, I'm about 8.5, 9 years behind on my own podcast that has been running for 12 years, but it keeps running and I still keep promoting it at old camps. And eventually I hear that, Ken, you were starting to run some live streams and you contacted me and you said, can I use CC Hits? So how was that for you? I mean, so obviously we'd been producing CC Hits for probably a good couple of years by the point at which you'd got interested in it. So how, so had you only come across it, do you think, from Ogcamp or?
Yeah, I'm here basically representing the listeners of the feed. So I claim no, claim no glory from the fact that you've developed the site. I always thought it was a brilliant idea to have a source where you could get clean music without having to worry about content rights, content protection. And I saw that very much in Ireland, where every little shop, every little business had to have one of those stickers on the door, like the mafia, the music mafia, basically. Mm. I always thought that free culture could provide better. And when I heard about your, I think I remember actually we were at the Ogcamp, and the interview I did with you was in 2011, 06, 28 is when it went out. And we just got talking and I said, right, I need to record this. And we went outside and you just blew my mind with the concept. And since then I subscribed to the feed. And in that 11 years, the only page I have ever gone to has been cchits.net/daily/copy-and-paste in today's show number to vote on the track. That is it. I didn't even notice that the front page had been updated. So. Well, it's an RSS feed. It comes into my podcast every day. And every day I have listened to every show.
Really?
Yeah, every day I listen to every single show. I have a script that I listen to. The HPR stuff comes down and make sure that comes in. I just scrub through it because I listen to the future feeds. I get the news from home. I get the BBC news. And then after all that's done, I can start coding with my coffee and listen to CC Hits. And then I what I tend to do is if there's a track I like, I'll not delete it. And then I'll leave it there. And then tomorrow it'll come up and the new one will play. And then I'll listen to it again. And if it passes three times, then I'll save it and I'll vote on the show. So I'm just in my directory here. So I'm a user. This is me. I'm not here in any form except other that I listen to CC Hits. Hmm. So in the 11 years that I've been listening, there are 512 individual songs in my cchits.net directory on my laptop, and I randomly play those all day. And I have this thing where I have a whole go of scripts around this, because I'll kind of randomly jumble them up and then I'll start playing. And I have this thing where sometimes it'll just perfectly pick the right songs for the mood that I'm in, and then sometimes it won't. So I cancel it and then rerun it until it goes into the groove. And invariably, once it gets the right groove, then it'll go from that type of song to the same type of song. But it's been brilliant for anything to do with, you know, we're bringing up a stream for the HBR New Year show, which we're doing again this year. And you don't have to worry about it. You know, you got classic stuff. And I think back then, the quality of Creative Commons music, it wasn't sure that the quality of the music was going to be good enough to go up against regular music. And in that 11 years, I have essentially stopped listening to mainstream music. I'm at a point, I'm not going to, you know, if there's tracks here, I actually go and I'll go to, I'll trace back to wherever it was, Jamendo or wherever, and then I'll buy the track. If it becomes a track that I'm really listening to all the time, I'll buy the track. But in that 11 years, the quality of stuff coming out of CC Hits is comparable. Not all of it is my stuff that I like. I'll tell you that right now. Something I will tell you is I didn't know I would like dubstep. This is something I did not know. Coming from the bogs of Ireland, all of a sudden you realize you love dubstep. But there you go. But some of the stuff is you would just never get exposed to it anywhere else. And when I heard that you were shutting down, yes, you know, I could, was going to come on here and beg you to continue doing it, but you know, everything has its lifespan, and you know, there's a lifespan. But from the point of view of a listener, I have taken this, these songs, and for the kids' birthday parties, right? We've had cinemas. We have one, another one upstairs, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. There's a birthday party going on as it happens, and we're doing the cinema. But we had disco parties down through the years. And kids, boys, you know, boys' parties, girls' parties. And I wouldn't play, like, mainstream music. I would, here's my CC Hits stuff, and this is what you're gonna hear. No difference. Zero difference. The kids just bopping around, not having a clue that this is Creative Commons music, not having a clue that it came from some, you know, collection of weird guys on the internet. Oh, that sounds wrong. Well, you know, so, all creepy guys on the internet. No, I take that back. I take that back. Ain't that allowed to? No, it made no difference. It's just good music. And I will really genuinely miss CC Hits.
So one little comment I'd like to make in that, when you mentioned about you never realized you'd like dubstep, really early on, this was probably I found this track and I went on Dave's show, and it was whilst I was plugging CC Hits, if I was plugging Odd Camp, but it was something I was plugging, and I went on there and he's like, what track do you want to end the show with? And I was like, I've got this track. There's one part in it that's a little bit rude, but I like it. It's a really good track. And he's like, okay, that's fine. We tend not to play anything with, you know, swear words in it, but you know, fine, whatever. I said, oh, and the other problem is it's 8.5 minutes long. And he just went, what?
So what?
And I went, do you mind me playing it? And he's like, look, normally I wouldn't play this, but okay. So I played it. And it was a dubstep track, and it was something like it starts with something along the lines of it was like a computer generated voice, which worked for me at the time, and it was like welcome to today's dubstep tutorial. You start with, you lay down a heavy beat, doof doof doof, and then you layer over something else, doosh 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 doosh, and then you lay down some dirty phaser. And I was like, oh, I love this track, it's brilliant. And it gets about halfway through, and then there's this bit where it goes, hooda, and then a swear word, is that hooda, and swear word. And it was just that one little bit. But it went on, and this song went on for ages, and it was a really, really good track. Great. Love this, it's brilliant. And it was playing for months. And then one of the things that you could do with CC Hits was you could flag tracks, and you could flag tracks as being not safe for work. And this one was flagged as not safe for work. And I suddenly thought, we really need to flag something for, this is claiming to be CC Creative Commons music, but it's actually got some commercial content in it. And I thought, dubstep track, it's got some really good parts in it. I wonder if that's actually got some commercial content in it. And I went back and I found it was two commercial tracks that had been mashed together and had been put on Jamendo, and they'd just go, oh, it's Creative Commons, it's fine, tick. And I was like, oh, fudge. I've been plugging this track to everyone as being this amazing dubstep track that's completely free to you. Oh dear. But yeah, I mean, absolutely. I never thought I would get into dubstep. I still, it has to be the right track for me. But yeah, I never thought I would get into it. And even now, you know, my son plays some really random, like, Minecraft related stuff. And I just keep going, oh, just, it's not quite right. It's electronic, but it's not, anyway. But yeah, so going back, Ken, I'm absolutely blown away by the fact that you have listened to all those tracks and all those shows. I always knew that there were dedicated listeners. So I mentioned before that we don't track any PII. There's no data even about IP addresses and stuff like that. But we did put in a, I can't remember, was it Matomo, something like that, I think we added in, just to try and kind of get an idea on where we were getting traffic from.
Yeah, it's Matomo.
A Matomo is a self-hosted thing, a bit like Google Analytics, yeah.
Privacy aware and friendly.
Yeah. So we put that in with my intention being that I would start looking at, actually looking to see if anyone was using this site. Because I'd obviously, having had that kind of meltdown about, you know, I'm never going to do anything with this, I did kind of suddenly start thinking, I can't really shut it down if people are actively listening. And so we put that in, and then I think I maybe looked at it twice to see how many listeners we had, because I just, for the love of it, it was never designed to be there to monetize. It was never there to track anyone. It was always just there. And in fact, I think really early on, somebody said to me, how long are you going to keep this running for? And I said, until it stops being interesting for me. And unfortunately, the point at which it stopped being interesting for me, somebody else came to me and said, we'll take it over for you. So I stopped kind of thinking about it as being a thing that I even really needed to worry about, aside from whether or not the shows were being generated each day. But so we had a couple of spates of outages where the script just stopped running for whatever reason. The Showmaker script just stopped running. On one occasion, I think TLS certificate broke, or the PHP version went wrong or something. And in the 12 years it was running, I had two emails from listeners saying the site's broken. And both of them said, the site's broken. What can I do to help fix it? Would money help? And in both of those cases, I think I'd nearly got to a solution both times. And I was just like, no, it's fine. I'm just glad you're listening. It'll be back up soon. I think in the 12 years, we only had maybe 3 days of shows that never went out.
Yeah.
And two of those have been in the last few months as the site kind of has been showing its age and weaknesses. But there was one definite planned removal of a show, which was for the internet blackout day.
Yes.
And that was a planned, intentional show. And I seem to recall I recorded it and then had to stop the Showmaker script from running. And it was a real faff because it was just such an automated process. It just ran a little cron job by itself and it just turned over. And I had to go in and remove the fact that the show had been generated and put in my own show over. It was just a pain in the bottom.
You got to do that for this one. You know that.
Well, yes and no. So I figure this is going to go in. So for those who, the Showmaker is still running. As we are recording this, I think when we last, it was at 10. So there is an API that we could call that said how many tracks there were left. And as of about a year, 2 years ago, I looked at that and it had something like 900 tracks left in, or 90, it was either 900 or 90, but it was definitely started with a 9. And I'm like, Dave just keeps adding to this every week. I am never going to have to worry about this again. It'll just keep going forever. And when I sent the message out to Dave and Yannick to say, listen, guys, we're hitting some problems. The Showmaker's not always running properly. Dave's reported that the APIs aren't working to pull stuff down from Jamendo and sites like that. We're stuck. I haven't got the headspace to fix this. Even if I wanted to, I mean, I can still read the code. The code is still mostly understandable if you understand PHP and can get your head around how my brain worked when I wrote it, which I think is probably more the stumbling block, if I'm completely honest with you. But these APIs are just broken now. It doesn't matter what we try and do, we're stuck.
Yeah, and with Jamendo now blocking some of the downloads, even for Creative Commons songs, that's that's a pain in the backside.
That isn't great.
And Free Music Archive have been bought by someone else, and APIs changed.
Tribe of Noise, I think it is.
Yeah,
But yeah, so we're looking at this, the APIs, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, we've got probably 4 months to think about this. And then Yannick pops up on the API and he's like, we've got 18 days left. And I'm like, oh no, what are we going to do? So yeah, so we hit a bit of a problem then. So I suddenly very rapidly had to remember exactly where in the code the showmaker thing injects the, you can vote for this track at such and such, and say, we need to strip that bit out because you can't vote for tracks. Well, you can vote for tracks, but you shouldn't vote for tracks anymore. And then find the bit in the weekly show and say, you know, and then say, you know, we're starting to wrap up. And it's just like, oh my God, I can't believe I can still find the snippets of code in there that do all the fun stuff. You know, the I spent ages, probably weeks, figuring out how to make the showmaker thing actually work. There's a whole load of PHP code that basically just shells out to a set of Unix tools. So we use Sox, which is a sound library, that to do little things like reverse the entire track. Why would you want to reverse the entire track? Well, it's to get to the end of the show to put the next bit on the end of it and then flip it back around again. Or, you know, to figure out how long you've got. So I think there's one part that injects a specific length of dead air and then layers another track on top of it back to front to make it so it...
Yeah.
It was such a faff. Sometimes when the showmaker breaks, it says, fail to do this thing. And I just look at it and go, how did that ever work in the first place? This is just mental. I just don't understand how I made this work.
But it did. It worked for 12 years.
It did. I can't believe it's been 12 years.
In part.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah. Mostly it worked. Mm.
So yeah, so we got to the point when the monthly show just died.
Can I just throw in an anecdote there?
Yes.
I'd like to take you back to December 2017 specifically, because that was probably the period of time post the original implementation of CC Hits where we spent the most amount of time in trying to make things better. So it was around about that time that Yannick went through and did all the visual changes at the front end. It was also around about that time that I think I spent somewhere in the region of about 2 weeks trying to refactor how the monthly show worked and the monthly show maker worked, because it was taking so long to do it. And I'm glad, John, you mentioned about the whole flipping of the file, because that was the reason why it took so long, because it would take the first track. Sorry, it would take the intro to that track, add the track to it, flip it, do some magic, flip it back, add the next, intro and track, flip the whole thing, flip it back again, and it would do that up for 40 tracks. And that's why it took so long to do, because it was doing a lot of unnecessary reversals.
That so doesn't I, sound very re- efficient.
It, believe me, it wasn't. And I refactored it so that it did it on a track by track basis and then just munged everything together at the end. Took it down from about, 90 minutes to about 4 or something like that, just by refactoring. And I don't want to point fingers, but it was approximately 4 months later that the monthly show builder stopped working. The last monthly show was successfully created in March 2018.
Yeah. So I also fundamentally, the problem we have, and I think I've always had, is I didn't want to spend an awful lot of money on a month by month basis for CC Hits. So CC Hits the whole time, I can't praise this particular host enough. So when we first started this, I hosted my blog on Dreamhost, and Dreamhost had this crazy deal which was, we will host however much content you want. Just don't ever store backups there. Fine. So I contacted them and said, look, I'm planning on like running this podcast. Am I all right doing that? They're like, yeah, absolutely. Go for it. I'm like, it's going to be producing a show every day. Yep. No problem at all. Okay. Fair enough. So it ran, and it ran probably again until like 2017-ish. So it had been running for a good 6 years by that point. And DreamHost, I get an email from DreamHost out of the blue. You're hosting backups on your site. Take them down or we'll cut you off. And I'm like, we're not hosting backups. They're like, we've had a look at your data and you have got these binary files in there every single day since 2010. And not just one binary file, but you've got three binary files. And it's not just it's some, you've got six, and some you've got nine. And there's photos in there too. I'm like, no, you completely got the wrong end of the stick. No, we haven't. You've got backups there. You need to take them offline. So we then had this full on mad panic.
Yeah, I remember that.
Where we had to figure out, we had to get all of the shows that we had run up until that point uploaded to the Internet Archive. And then we had to add some code into CC Hits, which by this point, I'd kind of lost track entirely of how this lot all really worked.
That's Dave's magic.
It took a while just to kind of reprime the pumps to figure out where we could put something in to point to the Internet Archive instead of pointing to our own local hosting. And then we hit a problem where the amount of data we were putting up was actually knocking the Internet Archive offline for us, for our API calls. It wasn't like for everyone, but we were pushing up so much data so quickly because DreamHost were desperate to get us to reduce our footprint. And we had to eventually go back to DreamHost and say, look, we're working on this as quick as we can. But you're going to have to give us some more time because we need to move all this lot. All of these podcasts, they're podcasts up to the Internet Archive. And to be fair to them, they were really good. And they did let us have the extra time. But I just remember it just being like, oh, my God, how are we going to get all these shows up there? And then we were like, it's fine. OK, what we're going to do now is we're going to have a cron job that runs every month. And it'll just upload the last month's worth of shows. Not the last month, but the month before last month of shows up there. And then check to make sure they're up there and then delete them. That cron job never got run. I'm not even entirely sure we wrote it. And DreamHost have never come back to us since then and said, we've got a problem. So probably, you know, if we hadn't hit this now, then probably in another year or so, they'd have come back to me and go, you're backing up again. But there's just all these little things in the background that just CC Hits would never have happened if it hadn't been for Creative Commons. That's a given, because the music would never have been there. CC Hits would never have existed had it not been for the Association of Music Podcasting, because I'd have never have found Dave's podcast, who I found through
Dan Lynch.
The Random Three.
Oh.
No.
Okay.
The Random Three podcast. There's a name that you probably haven't heard for a while. That was because I'd got this Windows mobile phone that could download podcasts. I'd never heard of podcasts up till that point, but I could download them to my mobile phone. And I just found a random collection of podcasts, and the Random Three was one of them.
The irony of being is that the Random Three was actually one of the podcasts that inspired me to start podcasting in the first place. The host of the Random Three, Mark, I actually went to sixth form with.
So I submitted some shows to the Random Three. So for those that weren't aware, the Random Three was a podcast that basically anyone could submit three tracks that they enjoyed listening to, and it could be anything. Mark had no particular. He would play anything on his podcast, and so I put all sorts of random nonsense onto his show. But I do remember the very first one. You then commented, because I'd been talking to you in the chat room, in your podcast, and you commented that, oh, it's good to see that Mark has got one of my faithful listeners over there. And I think he thought I'd found his podcast because of you, but I'd actually found your podcast because of him. Anyway. So yeah, so if it hadn't been for the podcast, you know, the Association of Music Podcasting, the random three, I'd have never discovered about music podcasts and found out Creative Commons music was so great. But then if it hadn't have been for Dreamhost, this site would have never happened at all, because I'd have never found a hosting provider that just said, just sling whatever you want in. Just, you know, just don't break any rules, basically. So it's kind of a testament to those three things. It's a testament to Dave for having the confidence in the idea, and for kind of giving me the nudge to keep going, kind of even when all felt rather bleak. In the back of my head, there was always kind of a Dave standing there going, well, you know, it's working for me, you know, please don't ever stop it. And I knew that there were people, as I said, I knew there were people out there listening. And so in the back of my head, I needed to keep it going, even if it was just for those people. I mean, so when I think when I first pitched it to Dave, my kind of grand scheme for CC Hits was that once we had enough tracks to have an 8-hour stretch of safe for family listening music, then what we would start doing, or what I would start doing, was then be producing music that we could then offer to businesses so they could move away from needing to be PRS, PPL licensed, because they would be playing only Creative Commons music. I think the fact that the showmaker for the monthly show took as long as it did to run, and that we'd had these intermittent problems with kind of getting it to run smoothly, meant that I never really had the confidence in the scripting to run something as long as 8 hours. I mean, the monthly show when it was running, if you think about it, you've got 40 tracks at like 3 to 5 minutes each. Yeah, so you're looking at like 200 minutes of shows. That's, you know, a good 2.5 hours, you know, at maximum length, as long as you don't have any of those crazy 8-minute dubstep, you know, tracks in there. So, you know, I was looking at, you know, producing a 2-hour show on a monthly basis, and it wasn't always successful. And then I thought, what happens when, you know, one of these organizations comes forwards and says, actually, I'd like an 8-hour show, you know, once a week to put into my stores or something like that. And I'd have been like, I can't really do that. Because again, the whole point of it was that it wasn't so much supposed to have been for the big, you know, the chains that could have said, well, we will give you, you know, £1,000 a show, or, you know, whatever. I have no idea what sort of license fees look like for stuff like that. It was supposed to have been for places like Hackspaces. It was supposed to have been for places like co-working spaces, small offices that had like 3 employees that they didn't want to listen to commercial radio because they didn't want the adverts in the breaks and stuff like that, or a car dealership that didn't want to be, you know, that wanted to have some audio on, you know, so that the staff weren't just listening to, you know, whatever, but that they didn't run the risk of having an advertising one of their competitors right in the middle of when they were running. Anyway, so that was the grand plan.
For a building with lots of elevators.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that was the grand plan, and it never really came off. And I was always a little bit disappointed about that. But fundamentally, the fact that we had faithful listeners fundamentally, you know, Ken is proof that we've had those listeners there. You know, the emails that I've had in the past, proof that it's there. I would love to hear from other people stories like Ken's, where, you know, he held, like you said, you had family discos that had no commercial music playing on it. That, I mean, that's just phenomenal. I never realized you actually did that, Ken.
Yeah.
I honestly only ever thought that you were your interest. So this will make me sound dreadful. I thought that your use of CC Hits for the HPR show was because you knew it was Creative Commons music, not because you were listening to it yourself as part of your daily kind of regular activities. That's just mind-blowing. I do also want to mention that we did have another guy called Mike who worked with us for a while. Really lovely guy. I think the way that I had written my code, he really struggled with. Fundamentally, that is not his fault. The code that I wrote was poorly structured. It was very objective orientated. It did a job. It was never designed to do more than that job, which caused problems. He wanted to take some stuff from that he wanted to dockerize it and containerize it so that he could make it easier to test stuff. In fact, I was looking back at the commits that were pushed into GitHub, and the very first commit that went into GitHub, which to be fair, was not right at the beginning of the process. It was sometime after CC Hits had gone live. But the very first commit was a set of PHP unit testing scripts. So it had always been written with the intention being that there would be, you know, a lot of testing in there. And that was partially to drive my own knowledge of how to write PHP, if I'm honest with you. But the fact that it wasn't using a publicly available library meant that it was really hard to get other people to commit to even looking at it. I had some really good friends in the PHP community. Well, I still have some really good friends in the PHP community. And every time I kind of floated the idea of this past them, they were like, hang on, so you've got like some code that's got logic for how to access the database tables in the same bit where you're doing the bit that says to update the tables. That's a code smell right there. That's not right. You've kind of, that's probably mixing the streams there. Mike tried really hard. He gave us some fun, fantastic stuff. The Showmaker had been running through Vagrant and VirtualBox for years. He came along and he made some suggestions around changing stuff over to Docker. And that kind of led me to actually realizing that we could run the Showmaker in Docker, which was basically meant that I could run it on where my blog was now hosted rather than having a dedicated machine at home. Ah, I remember we had loads of problems really early on with CC Hits, particularly when I went on holiday, because I then had to like get in touch with you, Dave, and get you to run the Showmaker scripts to make sure that I actually ran. Or yeah, I know you had SSH access into my home server so that you could SSH in to run the Showmaker scripts when it was broken.
Yeah.
There was a while when we were running it on the DreamHost server, and that kept timing out, and we were like, okay, yeah, we can't run it on here. It needs to be run somewhere else.
It's because the Showmaker was taking too long to return that Showmaker, the machine that kicked it off, thought it's given up.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, there were lots of... This is a bit of a grisly post-mortem, I think, of CC Hits. CC Hits was a whole load of fun to write. I really want to stress that. It was a whole load of fun to write. I had a boatload of support from some really great people. Dave, you were in there right from kind of minute one, really. I remember having long conversations with people in the PHP community in the Manchester area. And all across the Northwest, I was talking to people at Odd Camp, and everyone always kind of was like, this is a good idea, you know, go for it. Some people were like, it's a shame it's Creative Commons. I do remember there was one guy that was trying to do Morse code, trying to learn Morse code, and he used the Showmaker script to figure out how to do the text-to-speech part for his Morse that he was putting in. So he would send letters and would then use Festival to turn the letters that he'd sent in Morse into the actual spoken letter. And I was like, I mean, yeah, there's lots of ways you could skin that particular cat, but I guess that's one way.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, again, I would love to hear from anyone that got something, anything from CC Hits. On the CC Hits website, there are links to the Twitter account. There's an email address. There is a Facebook page. Never made it to LinkedIn, weirdly enough. But yeah, if you want to drop me a note and say, you know, you're happy with something that CC Hits did, I would love to hear about it. If you want to tell me that you are surprised you listened this long because you couldn't cope with that stupid robotic voice, but you kept listening for the music, then I want to hear from that from you as well. Like I said, we never tracked numbers. We never ever tracked numbers. I don't know what our peak in listening was at any point in the history of CC Hits. I just want to know that you found it interesting and useful. Is there anything that, Dave, that you can remember that I've missed there at all?
No, not that I can think of. You've pretty much covered off all of the good, the bad, and the ugly. May I? Of the see what I did there.
See what you did there.
Of the service. Personally, from a really personal standpoint, I'm going to miss it. I'm going to miss it from when it was in its heyday.
Yes.
After a while, as I said to Yannick, you and John, that it came to a point where it started to become a chore. And I think it was probably an inevitability. It was probably always going to happen. But it is a real shame that this service that we've had running so long and that I've personally contributed to, and that's unusual for me to actually contribute to a free software project. But you commented earlier, John, about me having a whinge at you for having personally invested my time in this project. And yeah, it's something that I've always felt that I have actually managed to achieve something with. And despite the fact that we're now not putting the CC Hits voting links on the Bugcast show notes, it was amusing actually that the day after I actually gave up submitting a week's tracks to CC Hits because the API just wasn't usable, the day after that was when you sent the email through saying, what are we going to do with this?
Yeah.
So the timing was obviously right.
Yeah.
It's had its day. It had a great day.
Hmm.
But yeah, the time has come. And yeah, I'm sad.
It's also when sometimes they've forgot to post the link to CC Hits during the live show, there was always someone in the chat room saying, where's the link? Where's the link? So it's not only for the podcast producers, and as Ken is an example of that, the podcast has listeners who actually want to have a say in that and say, I like this track, I want this. But yeah, we, as you said, John, we rely on APIs, and unfortunately, APIs change, services change. As I said earlier, Jamendo now is, they say they give the artist the opportunity to block downloads. Well, some of them probably don't understand what Creative Commons means and they block their downloads. Well, and other services have been changed hands, and the APIs are either blocked or they are they change too. And as Dev said, it had its days. And I remember when I was tinkering with what it's called, Liquid Soap, I think, which is a software to create a web radio. I never really intended to have a web radio. I just like to know how stuff are made. And once I just stumbled upon that software and I thought, oh, it looks interesting. Let's learn how that works. And so I pulled tracks from CC Hits to create the OSPN web radio. That lived for a few months, I think, just to prove that it could be done. And for me, the CC Hits for me means that I had to get in touch with you and eventually meet you at OCCAMP.
Yeah.
And that I remember very well. That was my first OCCAMP. So I knew no one. I just knew you were there. And I arrived in this pub in the evening, in the night before OCCAMP. And I was looking everywhere. Like, I know no one here. And then I spotted you and I had seen your face on camera. And I was, ooh, here's a friendly face. And from there we start talking and now we're doing stuff with Dave and you for this website I miss it too. It was fun. Yeah.
Ken, is there anything that you think I've missed or that you any other anecdotes you want to tell?
No, but I will applaud you guys for doing it and for all the enjoyment that I got out of it for the last 11 years. It's been fantastic. And I have all these popular songs in my head that nobody else knows. they're all just, you know, you think you listen to niche music, come over here for a minute. Like, but I would also like to congratulate you. I know people are sad and they're going, oh, this is the end of an era and where am I going to get my music from? But the putting it to bed gracefully is always something that podcasters should do. Put the show to bed gracefully and give the listeners the time to grieve and to, because it is that. There's going to be a large part of my day gone now.
Mm.
All I'm going to have in my script coming up is the podcast once a week. And that's not enough. So, yeah, this is CC Hits and then the podcast. And then I've thought this was a brilliant concept. I still think it's a brilliant concept. And in a way, I'm a bit sad that they upstream the vision that we all had of there going to be a pool of Creative Commons stuff to pick from. Is being kind of eroded a little. But then it's on the Internet Archive and hopefully that'll survive. And
I was about to say that. The pool is still there, it's just not being added to.
Exactly. And if somebody else wanted to come along and take up the mantle, I mean, that's always something that somebody could do.
Do you know what? So the number of times that I can't remember whether I ever sort of shared it, but I would go away and I'd come across a new PHP framework and I'd be like, do you know what? I'm going to go and rewrite CC Hits in, in, you know, Laravel or Slim or whatever. And it never quite felt right because it just felt like CC Hits. There was too much good memories invested in CC Hits for me to make those changes. And although I'd had my frustrations with the code base, it was still predominantly a good memory. And I think every time I looked at doing something different, I just got really frustrated with not being able to get my head around the code quick enough to turn a to-do app or somewhere between the to-do app and the CS degree, turn that into CC Hits. It just always felt like it was too much to try and get my head around, which is weird considering that when I was writing it, I was under massive time pressure because I knew I had to write it before Daniel was born. I had to write it in such a way that I could get people like Dave submitting tracks into it and myself submitting tracks into it. And yet there's still all those good memories there that I don't think I could ever kind of go back to. So yeah, I'm really sad that I'm closing down CC Hits, but it's because it was a successful project. You know, people always say that, you know, when you grieve for something, you're lamenting the fact that you've lost love, But the important thing to take away from it is that the love was there in the first place.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I am grieving for the fact that CC Hits is being put out to pasture, purely just because, you know, it was a project of love, and it's not one that I can sustain. So if anyone does want to take on the CC Hits code, feel free. If you want to take the data is still there. It will be uploaded to Internet Archive at the same time as everything else is. So feel free to, you know, go through there and pillage what you can. Maybe draw some interesting graphs around when people were voting, whether people were voting. And it'd be interesting to see what would have happened if that chart had actually been able to run for those 12 years properly, what would have happened with the monthly shows and things like that. Because we never, as soon as things started to break, seriously break with things like the monthly show, we didn't have the time to go back and fix it really. So there was always a talk about rewriting the monthly show algorithm so that it would be more dynamic.
We did rewrite it. In fact, I think it was Yannick that rewrote it.
Yeah.
And we just didn't implement it.
Yes.
I don't think I was involved in the monthly or weekly show.
Oh, no, sorry. Apologies. No, John, you rewrote it.
Yeah.
I think I made a couple of suggestions on how it could be improved, and you just went ahead and did, how does this work? And I'm like, wow, that's exactly what I would expect to see. And then we just left it.
It was probably 2014 or something. It's been sitting there ever since.
It was a while back.
Yeah. But yeah, like I said, it is definitely something that I am grieving because I loved it. Again, please, if you were a listener, if you want to take something forward with it, if you used it in some unusual way that we wouldn't have expected, I would love to hear about it. Because this was such a big part of my life for the last 10 years, even though it was just, you know, checking to make sure that the script had run every morning. So thank you very much, guys. This has been an absolute pleasure. I'm sorry to have poached your time, Ken, from your son's birthday party. But Dave, Yannick, thank you for all your help with CC Hits over the years. Ken, thank you for your support. And on behalf of any of the other listeners, thank you so much for participating in the story that is CC Hits.
Well, thanks to you for creating it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because without you doing that, we wouldn't be here anyway. So.
Here.
Thank you.
Here.
And so with that, I think we'll let Doris say one final goodbye for us. It's okay, Ken. It'll be all right.
No, it's still all right.
You're going to be okay.
We're just going to have to meet up at our camp and drown our sorrows over a few beers.
Yeah.
Yes. Come along to an odd camp. Drown your sorrows.
Awake for CC Hits.
Awake for CC Hits, indeed.
Do you know what? That sounds good.
Yeah.
It does indeed.
Yeah.
So, thank you very much. And that's the final goodbye from CC Hits.
Goodbye.
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 So that was it. The end of cchits.net. I want to thank every person who ever listened to a show, who voted on a track, who submitted a track or recorded one, which was played on the show. Without you, CC Hits would never have worked at all. I also want to thank anyone who spoke to any of the team about the show, whether you loved it or hated it, because your feedback made the show better. And so, to play out, here is the full version of our theme tune, GMZ by Scott Altim. Farewell from CC Hits.
listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hosting for HPR has been kindly provided by anhonesthost.com, the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.